Prime Minister, we've been asking...
Can I just first of all say congratulations on being Radio Presenter of the Year?
Well, thank you very much.
Well, great honour to be on your show.
Is that meant to soften me up, right?
Yeah, this is part of my tactics. Sorry, I interrupted
you. Now, we have been asking our listeners for questions that I should put to you today. And we've had several hundred responses, and I would say about 40% of them were asking the same question. And that is this. You said 3 months ago you would never argue that Britain couldn't survive outside the EU, which is essentially what you are arguing now. If you're so fearful, why did you decide to hold a referendum in the first place?
Well, first of all, let me repeat. I think Britain, of course, could survive outside the EU. We're an amazing country, the fifth largest economy in the world. The question is not, can we survive? The question is, how do we do best? How will we have the most jobs? How will we be strongest in the world? How will we be safest from terror? And after 6 years of doing this job as Prime Minister, I'm absolutely convinced the answer to that is better off, stronger and safer in. Why are we holding the referendum? Well, because we promised that we would. I think you can't stay in an organisation decade after decade, particularly when it's changed, without the full-hearted consent of the British people. So I think we're doing the right thing.
But if you genuinely believe that a Brexit would mean the loss of hundreds of thousands of jobs, the war is more likely, companies would move overseas, surely it's totally irresponsible to even hold a referendum.
I don't think so. We're a democracy, and it's important to demonstrate that. We talk a lot about sovereignty in this debate. This is a sovereign decision of the British people. But as I say, I absolutely believe, and the more this argument is held, I think we will have more jobs and we'll be better off if we stay in. And I think what's interesting about the debate is the Leave campaign are now saying very clearly they want to leave the single market. And I think that has really big consequences for jobs. I had round the cabinet table today some of the biggest inward investors into our country, Japanese car companies, American car companies, big investors in trains, in insurance, in banking and services, all of them saying, we love Britain, we love investing here, we love creating jobs here. We don't just come because of the European Union, we come because of the language, we come because of the time zone, because of the brilliant workforce. But being in the European Union does give us access to that market of 500 million people.
But hasn't Project Fear gone far enough? When you suggest that war would be more likely if we leave the EU, people just laugh at that.
Well, let's take that speech in particular. I did not say if we leave on Wednesday, World War III is going to break out on Thursday. What I said was the EU, along with NATO, has been one of the institutions that has helped to keep the peace in Europe, helped to resolve differences between European countries, and we should think very carefully before giving these things up. Because it was only a few years ago that we had, whether it was the massacre in Srebrenica or more recently we've got
Russian... And the EU completely failed at all of that, didn't it?
Well, the EU didn't do as well as it should, but I see all the time how imperfect as it is an organisation, annoying as it can be, we found a way of settling our differences through dialogue and discussion. And we should think carefully before giving that up.
It's just that a lot of people, certainly in the Conservative Party, they remember when you won the leadership of the party, you portrayed yourself as a devout Eurosceptic, leaving the EPP, things like that. That was one of the major reasons
I would describe myself as Well, I would describe myself as a Eurosceptic. I'm very proud of the fact that
it's
I took us out of the...
of late, though, isn't it?
Well, no, I'd say, look, being a sceptic means that you are sceptical about grand schemes and utopian visions. You want to ask very carefully what organisations are for before you join them or stay in them. I'm proud of the fact that I took us out of the EPP and created our own political party with allies that believes in reform in Europe rather than integration. But being a sceptic doesn't mean you walk away from the whole thing. European reform stops if we leave. That's the end. And I think that would be a big mistake. And I've been very consistent in this all my political life. I've argued, keep out of the euro, get Britain out of a political ever closer union, but fight for the trade and the investment and the jobs that we need.
Stephen Southampton has a question. He says, do you not sound a bit like Jeremy Corbyn, yeah, aren't I? Do you not think you ought to commit to taking part in a one-to-one live debate before June the 23rd? People think you're Fritter Farage.
No, well, I'm doing these TV debates, but they're as town halls.
They're not debates, though, are they?
But I think they're better, actually. Having a veteran now of TV debates, my view is these town hall meetings where you're standing there on your own in front of a representative audience of the public, answering their very direct questions, I think that's better than the slightly phony atmosphere of debates with the pre-scripted lines and all the rest of it. So I'm doing one on a programme with Nigel Farage. I'm doing one with... with the BBC, I think, now, doing one with Sky. And I think that's going to be a very good way of communicating directly
to people.
Well,
we might try and entice you to do one with LBC. But do you not think, though, that in a democracy relies on confrontational debate, just like you have in the House of Commons? It doesn't have to be blue on blue. I mean, is that your reservation? That you
won't go up against
Boris Johnson or Michael Gove?
I don't want too many blue on blue conflicts. Partly because I want to demonstrate that those arguing to stay in the European Union, reformed European Union, include the Labour Party, the Green Party, the Liberal Democrat Party, the trade union movement, most of British industry, the majority of small businesses. I want to prove the breadth of the campaign, and I don't want this to become a sort of Tory psychodrama between me and Boris or me and Michael Gove. So that's one reason for not doing it that way. But I think, look, there's going to be plenty of opportunities for people to grill me on live television between now, and I absolutely welcome that because I want to get my message across.
Francis in Norfolk says, what's a bigger threat to Britain's future, leaving the EU or Donald Trump in the White House?
Well, we're in control of the first and we're not in control of the second. We will have to look, the special relationship is works irrespective of the Prime Minister of the day or the President of the day. There's a shared interest between Britain and America, and that will be the case whoever is the President.
But do you worry about the special relationship if Donald Trump wins?
Well,
he clearly does.
My view is that the special relationship is great for both our countries, and whoever's in the job I'm in and the presidency should always be working to make it better. But we will respect the outcome of whoever wins the election in America. It's for them, not for us. And, you know, as long as I'm in this job, I'll always work to build a special relationship.
Why do you feel that you've struggled to convince some of your closest allies to remain? I mean, obviously thinking about Boris Johnson and Michael Gove, but there are others.
Well, I think it's, it's for many years, it's been an issue that has divided people. I think by staying, we get the best of both worlds because we're not in the things that most upset conservatives. We're not in the euro. We're not in the no border zone. We're now out of an ever closer political union. So I think the deal I got helped to reconfirm the special status for Britain. And obviously, I'm disappointed that I haven't convinced more conservative members of parliament of that. We got a majority of the parliamentary party, but obviously, I'm disappointed. Look, it's inhuman not to be sad and disappointed that Boris and Michael have taken a different view, but that's for them to say.
What is this special status for Britain, though? Because a lot of people, your opponents on the Leave side, would say, well, there is no special status.
Oh, it totally
it's a very weak renegotiation. You didn't fulfil your commitments that you made in the Bloomberg
speech.
I don't
accept that. I mean, I sit in the European Council. I've done it for 6 years. We have a special status, and it's going to get even more special because of my negotiation. The fact that we're outside the Eurozone, the fact that we don't take part in Schengen. You know, since I've been Prime Minister, we've had the opt-out from the Justice and Home Affairs portfolio, which is a massive repatriation of powers from Brussels to Britain. And you see it in Europe all the time. I mean, take the big issue right now with the migration crisis. You know, I've sent British ships to go and help keep keep the external border of Europe strong, but actually people that get to Greece, they're not able to come to the UK because we've kept our borders. We're not part of some relocation scheme within Europe because we're out of Justice and Home Affairs. So I see the special status all the time. We've reinforced it with this renegotiation, and that's, I think, one of the ways to convince people that it's the right thing to do to stay in.
Do you think this is a question of conscience for Boris Johnson? I mean, it's rumoured that he'd written two different columns on the day that he'd actually made his decision. What does that say about him?
Well, he says he was as torn. He'd told a lot of people that he'd never been a leaver. But look, it's for him to say.
But you were furious, weren't you?
I'm human, so obviously I was disappointed.
Translation, furious.
No, well, I'm going to focus on the positive case for staying in a reformed European Union. I'll let Boris explain his own thinking and Michael ditto. I feel... And I said, I'm happy to say this again, and it's not meant with any edge. You know, I'm not trying to be Prime Minister after the next election. I've got no other agenda than saying what I think is right for our country. I don't come at this as thinking what's right for Europe. I think what is right for Britain, what's right for the country I love. And I think we'll be stronger. I think we'll be able to get more things done in the world. I think we'll fight terrorism better. I think we'll be better off. I think more companies will come and invest in Britain. I think we'll create more jobs if we stay. And I'm going to tell it very, very straight like that, very positively between now and
23rd of June. How did you react, though, when you heard Boris comparing the EU to Hitler?
Well, I think he's wrong. Hitler wanted to snuff out democracy across the continent, and the European Union is basically an alliance of countries that share a view about democracy and liberal values. And
well, it may be, but we can't kick out EU commissioners, can we? It is a fundamentally undemocratic process. If you want to get rid of Jean-Claude Juncker, there's no way for the people of Europe to do that.
Well, the democracy, Europe, accountability in Europe is because the supreme body, as it were, is the European Council, of which we're a full member, and it's a meeting of prime ministers and presidents round a table to discuss what we should do. As I say, I don't think the organisation is perfect in any way. There are further reforms I'd like to see. But the question we're being asked on the 23rd of June is not, do you love Europe and all its works? The question is, what's best for Britain? What's best for jobs? What's best for safety? And on that basis, you know, uncertain as I am about lots of things about the European Union itself, I'm in no doubt, absolutely no doubt, that when it comes to jobs and safety and Britain's role in the world, that the right thing to do is to stay.
In terms of looking ahead, what do you want to do next? I mean, you're going to be quite a young man when you leave the office of Prime Minister, younger than Tony Blair was. Are you going to slip into the shadows like Gordon Brown or the Tony Blair approach?
Well, the most important thing is I'm not going to speculate about it at all. I love what I do. I've got lots of fuel in the tank. I think you saw yesterday with the Queen's speech, there's a government that actually, although obviously there's a division about Europe, I think the interesting thing about the Conservative Party today is there's actually no sort of left-right, wet-dry division in the party when it comes to this issue of building opportunities, helping people with life chances, giving people a second chance if they've gone wrong and they're in prison. This whole agenda of trying to help people make the most of their lives is very powerful, very unifying. It's a huge passion for me. And, you know, I can't wait till the referendum is over. We can then, you know, have the next few years as really driving that combination of economic success and prosperity for our country, completing the work of getting rid of the deficit and giving people greater life chances. It's a wonderful opportunity that we have, and I can't wait till we come back together again, very united, and drive it through.
You will have seen the Supreme Court decision this morning to uphold the PJS celebrity super injunction. Do you think that's the most alarming example yet of judges making a new privacy law when that should be the job of Parliament?
Well, we have an independent judiciary, and we should treasure that. We have to accept these decisions. And I think that's probably all I'm going to say about it.
Let me just press you on that a second, because it is fundamental to the lawmaking process of this country is whether judges should be making this law or Parliament.
Well, of course, Parliament can choose to legislate in this area if it wants to. I think all attempts at doing this have been very fraught and very difficult. And I prefer having, you know, I think a strong independent regulatory body for the press. It's now in evidence. I would like it to be compliant with what we set out following the Leveson inquiry, but it's come a long way. I think we can see that in recent years anyway. I'd like it to go further. And I think that's the right approach.
Final email that came in this morning is from Deborah in Edinburgh. She says, do you support the decision not to host the Open at Muirfield after their members voted against allowing women golfers to join their club?
Well, I haven't been following this story, so you've slightly caught me out. But my general rule is that sports clubs should be totally open to both sexes, and it's outdated not to do that, particularly if you think that you're up to hosting important championships.
I didn't know you were a golfer. You were playing Barack Obama. How did that go?
Well, I didn't disgrace myself. He's very good. I am not.
He spent a lot of time playing, I gather.
I'm not. I don't know about that. But anyway, but I didn't. Golf is one of those games where you can just have a terrible, terrible day, and it really wasn't too bad. We had a lovely, very good conversation. Very nice chat. It was a lovely course, and I think the best I can say is I did all right.
One final very quick question. What were you saying to Jeremy Corbyn yesterday when you walked into the House of Lords? Because you weren't getting a lot of reaction from him.
I was asking him about whether he had time to see the Chilean president when she was in town, because I know he's got a great passion for Latin America and things that are happening there. So we talked about Chile, we talked about Colombia. I was about to get on to Venezuela, but we didn't find time. Maybe that's what went wrong. But that's sort of the thing we were talking about.
Prime Minister, thank you very much.
Thank you.